You're listening to episode 26 of the Mad Chatters podcast, March 25th, 2015.
Most everyone's mad here.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. My name is Derek, and joining me in the same studio all the way in Avon Park, Florida.
Beautiful Avon Park, Florida.
Oh, excuse me, I didn't get my adjectives in there. Mm-hmm. Are my co-hosts Matthew.
Howdy.
And Jeremy.
Oodalali, golly, what a day.
You've used oodalali before.
Oh, have I?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, womp, womp, womp.
It's all right.
Uh-oh, you put them in the same room and they start arguing right away.
Not good. Wait, this is a normal show.
One of these days I'm going to get down there and we're going to record all together, maybe even live from a park.
I think that all of us in the same room together, see, Jeremy's on the opposite side of the table, so I kind of feel like we're not here. I can still like look at him and feel like I'm talking in the screen to him.
To the screen, yeah.
I feel like if we were all in the same room together, we would be more timid in our critiques and accusations of one another.
Fine, I can take a hint. I won't come.
Gosh. You can't. Don't come ever.
Okay, now last week I know I joked with you guys about celebrating our 25th podcast by decorating your house like a cake. And for those who didn't understand that, that was because Magic Kingdom's 25th birthday, they decorated the castle like a very tacky pink cake. Ginormous. And right now, I don't know if you've seen pictures, but Disneyland is currently redoing their castle to celebrate the 60th. Have you seen pictures of this yet? Excuse me. All one big S, that sentence. Have you seen pictures of this?
Yes.
Yet.
Okay.
Yes, I was filling in your blank with yet.
Were you saying German. Russian no, or were you saying yet? Yes.
I was filling in the blank, and I said no. I have seen the artwork. Is what you're talking about? I have seen that.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I saw the artwork a few months ago, probably, and thought surely it's not really going to look like that. Well, now they're halfway through decorating it, and it is indeed going to look like that. So it's the diamond celebration. So everything has diamonds on it. So the spires are very bright blue and diamond-y, sparkly. I like those. But now they're adding, like, these crisscross straps all the way around and these really big, like, navy drapes that come down that make it look kind of funeral-ish. And then on top of the spires, someone compared it to a toothpaste cap. And the minute he said it, I was like, I can't unsee it. It looks like a silver toothpaste cap on every spire. I'm not quite sure what to think.
It was like beating a dead horse, because they did this with both castles for the happiest celebration on Earth, the 50th of Disneyland. Remember when they did the castles on both coasts? Yeah, it had like a big gold overlay and all these little things on it. It was just, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I feel like that was okay. This feels like we've already done this, except it's diamonds.
Yeah, well, like I said, just the blue spires with the sparkles actually looks very nice. And they did it to where it's, like, actually set on top to where you can take it off really easily. Otherwise, it would probably stay there for, like, 6 or 7 years and they would just leave it.
You're right.
Yeah, kind of like a big hat we know of.
It's one of those times. And the hat, yes. It's one of those times when you just want the Imagineers to have stopped earlier in the process.
Right.
This is good. Let's not think about it.
And the art shows even more, like, it looks like necklaces, diamond necklaces hung around every spire, like the castle raided the queen's jewelry box or something. And so I'm hoping that they'll stop before that point, but I don't know if they will. Anyway, so we will see where they go with that. Maybe these are all tests, and they'll look at it and say, no, that's not working, let's take it down, I don't know. But I'll try to put some pictures of that on the show notes so our viewers can see the current progress of that.
The celebration is in July. I mean, the anniversary is in July, so I doubt they're going to have much time to test anything from.
And they're launching all this stuff like the middle or end of May, so they really don't have that much time. So you're probably right. All right, well, let's start the show by talking about something Disney related that we did or experienced this week. Anything goes in this segment. I'm going to kick it over to you, Jeremy. Why don't you start us off with this, the Disney fix?
Well, I get my Disney fix in many ways, but particularly this week, I got my Disney fix through an activity that I did with the teenagers at my church. We went laser tagging. I didn't know the right verb for that.
There probably is an appropriate verb. We just don't know it.
Yeah. We went laser tagging last night, and it's fun. I really like laser tag. In fact, I was telling them, it really brings out like my testosterone in me. I was really feeling like, I want to kill something, and grill something, and beat something,
with infrared lights.
Yeah,
but you know, just you get in a trance. But the thing I like about it is, one, you can make up your own name. Like everybody gets a code name when you go in there, which is kind of fun. And they all laugh at me, but my code name is Darkwing Duck.
Ah,
and so I keep that.
That is actually so much better than what I thought you were going to say. I don't know, some Gilmore Girls character or something. Or Golden Girls. Golden Girls.
Gilmore Girls.
Raging Rose or something.
Did you say waging?
Raging.
Waging woes.
So Darkwing Duck, how do you do?
Yeah, but I was going to say the real part that really makes me feel like a good Disney fix is when I'm in there, because it's dark, but you have black lights and it's very narrow and paths going through, at least where we play, and I feel like I'm in Tron. And so it really has that, how does Tron start again, where he's like, the grid is now active or whatever that
is.
Yeah. I always like say that to myself as I start, and then we go in and you just shoot people, and it's a lot of fun. So, you know, I find my imagination helps give me a Disney fix in something.
You should,
that,
like, take the Tron soundtrack and listen to it.
That would be amazing.
Like, make yourself, like, a Tron battle playlist.
Yeah. They actually play some pipes of music in that's very electronic feeling, not Tron music as far as I know.
What's, like, the theme of this laser tag place? Because I've been in, like, a pirate one before.
No, this one is just very, like, industrial feeling.
Ah.
And but it's really kind of, it was nice, and I've only played there, so I don't really have a lot of laser tag experience beyond that. But I recommend it. Like I said, to me, it's a fun experience that is plussed with a Disney fix.
Yeah,
definitely. You can wear Mickey ears, and you can do all sorts of stuff.
I wouldn't go that far.
Do they have helmets, or is it vests?
No, it's vests. You wear the
helmets. Gotta protect your head from all the infrared lights.
Well, look, now some of them you got like different hit points, and you get points for hitting them in the head.
You get it on the front of the chest, the back of the chest, and the shoulders, and the gun.
And the gun.
You shoot the gun.
Where's the gun?
It's attached, but you hold it.
Speed.
I really answered you like you didn't know.
I did too. It hangs down behind your butt.
Yeah. I feel like this is unfair. Well, for Jeremy and I, one thing, but I live literally an hour and 15 minutes south of Walt Disney World. So it's hard to be honest with you and make you feel really bad about yourself. My Disney fix was going to the Magic Kingdom twice this week. But I will abstain from that and tell you how another way I got a Disney fix as far as being away from the park and needing just a little touch of magic during my week. And that was maybe two mornings ago. It was so pretty outside in the morning, very cool, but still sunny and a little bit humid, just that magical Florida combination of things in the morning. And I took my coffee outside on my porch, and I brought with me my my phone and a little Bluetooth speaker, and I just piped out the Tower of Terror cue music for myself out there, which is something I do often if I'm sitting outside by myself.
But how does that fit on a sunny day, you're going to listen to Tower of Terror background music?
Well, yeah, but it's that really just old sounding jazz big band swing music.
I'm sure you didn't add like the echo reverbs and all the creepy stuff.
Well, that's on there.
Oh.
That's on there, but it just kind of gives it like an old classic kind of Florida, I don't know.
That's it.
I have this weird scenario in my mind, so...
Well, the Spanish moss kind of adds to that.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what you're saying.
I wasn't feeling creepy. The music by itself, separated from that attraction, is all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I did something this week that I always said I would never do. I caved and signed up for the Disney Movie Club. Have either of you ever done this?
Okay. Nope.
Do you get the mailings, though? Because I get them all the time.
Every other day.
Yes.
With the free stickers. Mm-hmm. If you get mail from me through the U.S. Post Office, it probably has a Disney sticker on it from them trying to solicit me.
Oh, yeah. I give those stickers to my nephews and niece. Okay, well, I get those all the time, and I feel like it's such a trap because you get so many Blu-ray or DVDs for very cheap, but then you have to commit to buying them at full price, which is like $30 for each Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. Well, I was looking into this because they switch up the specific offer they send you each time, and I was looking at this specific offer, and I was like, you know, that's really pretty good. And the one I got this time was 5 Blu-rays for $1 each. Unless you signed up online. In that case, they're 5 Blu-rays for $1 total. So they're 20 cents each. Free shipping, plus a free frozen blanket with Olaf on it, which is really the reason I signed up, let's be honest. So anyway,
yeah.
So the 5 Blu-rays for $1, and then you have to buy 4 at full price just over the next 2 years. But if you bought a 6th one at the same time as signing up, it was only $11.95. And then if you bought a 7th one, it was only $8.95, and they counted as 2 of the 4 you would have to buy before the 2 years was up.
This sounds like too much math.
Well, no. So after I bought those 7 Blu-rays, and I got the blanket for free, and shipping was free, it was $21. And then I only have to buy 2 more before 2017.
At full price. But that's a great deal. Yeah.
So in total, it will be like 9 Blu-rays for less than $90. And these are Disney Blu-rays, which is like, you know, those never go on sale. It's weird.
Yeah. And listen, just a couple years ago, Disney was really good about when stuff came out, they would give you a coupon or like a Target, it would be discounted. Lately, they have not done that. And it's really upset me.
Does it come with the full, like, combo pack, DVD, Blu-ray, a digital copy?
They all 7 I ordered come with the DVD, and I think 4 of them come with the digital copy, so.
Digital copy's a selling point.
Yeah, I think so,
and
too.
And a sleeve?
That has yet to be determined. Crossing my fingers. I hope so.
If not, you call them up. Holler at them. Need my sleeves.
Nah, I'm not going to worry about that much. Because a few of the ones I have don't have a sleeve anyway. But
loser.
Anyway, so that's what I did this week, and I don't know when they'll arrive, but
I want to stop and talk about sleeves for a second, because I have seen Matt Price ask people in their homes that he's visiting.
This is true.
He says, "Do you mind if I have this sleeve to this movie?"
Yes.
I am really
That was the deals.
Yes.
From Mary Poppins. I remember that. I think I still have that. I took it home with me. Yeah,
I was so embarrassed for him. Like, who does that? Goes to somebody's home and asks them for
that? And I remember pointing out to them the flaws in it. Like, I see this as a little cracked here.
Like, he was selling them on
it. Do you really want to keep this, or can I just take this from you?
It's funny because the Disney movies, I do like the sleeves, but other ones in the past, I've actually just thrown the sleeve away the minute I get it, because like the sticker will stick and you have to get goose stuff, and I'm like, forget it, it's too much work.
Who at Walmart decided it was a good idea to put 3 of their stickers on the cover of the movie? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. But the Disney ones are better about it, so anyway.
Wait, are you going to tell us what movies you got? I mean, you told us you got 9 movies.
7.
7 movies.
Okay, let me try it. Remember, I did get Cinderella and the Jungle Book, because I don't own those, A Bug's Life, the original Muppet movie, Princess and the Frog, Tarzan, and if I think of the 7th, I will get back to you, but right now I can't remember.
Home on the Range.
Never.
Home,
chicken,
home,
chicken
range.
Little.
Home.
If they said, if you buy 7 Blu-rays and you get 1 free and we'll pick it for you, it's Home on the Range, I would say, you can keep your dumb movie. I'm not watching that.
No, you would give it to your nephew for Christmas because he would like it.
I could do that, yeah. Anyway, all right, well, let's go ahead and play a game. And this is something we've played before. We're going to do it again. It's called Take 5. And we've got some different categories, and we each have only 5 words to describe it, or the 5 words that come to our mind, whatever they might be. So take it away, Jeremy.
All right, the first topic for tonight's 5 words. Matt, you're going to start. Creepa Crew. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Creepa Crew is also known as the Kringle Crew, depending on what time of the year you're there. But they are the... I won't editorialize here. They are the dancers who come out on Main Street while you're waiting for the parade during the Halloween and Christmas party.
They're for the cool kids.
The cool kids in town. Yeah. Phineas and Ferb used to hang with them, but I haven't seen Phineas and Ferb with them. Maybe they still are, but anywho. Creepa Crew, give us your five words, Matt.
Welcome to Disney's South End.
Horrifying middle school dance flashbacks. That's all I can think of.
I don't think I even went to dances in middle school.
Your middle school had giant inflatable balls that they threw around in the crowd?
Maybe.
When I was there, the last time I was there for the Christmas party, they had those big beach ball looking things trying to throw them into the crowd. And I swear, I had the look of death on my face, and I just stared the guy down, and I was like, throw me that ball, and I swear I will pop it. I mean, I swear I will pop it. And the people I was with, they were like, do it, do it, do it. So then, you know, I was like, how funny would that be if he threw it to me and I caught it, and I was like, ah! And he never did, because I think he got the hint. Anyway, all right, my five words. Go back to Six Flags.
Yeah, I did think of that. All the loud pop music and the awesome choreography, yeah.
It's so... 8 second rant here. It's so annoying how you're sitting on Main Street and the windows are lit up for Halloween or Christmas. The music is playing and all of a sudden you hear, doop, 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 doop. It's time for the Kringle Crew. Everybody get up. And it's like, no, I don't want
to
get up.
Go back. Go back to Toontown where you belong.
Absolutely. Or Six Flags. Well, yeah. The feeling of the completely messing up the feeling of Main Street is exactly the reason I don't like the next category.
Main Street has become messed up. And let's just go for a rant just for a second. Can I?
May I? Yeah, I'll allow you.
Yeah.
I have been, since we've moved here to Florida, like I said, about an hour or an hour and a half south of Orlando.
Just keep rubbing your nose in it, Derek.
We have gone frequently to the parks. And the Magic Kingdom, just because of the traffic situation, it has become the most annoying place to be in the evening if you want to try to get in. Like, any time between 8 and, like, 10 or 11. Any time in that whole window of parades and fireworks. Trying to get through Main Street will just suck every bit of magic out of Main Street because they have taped off everything. You are told where you can walk, where you cannot walk. If you're going this direction, you can't go over there. You have to walk on the right side. They have people sitting and standing inside the taped area, so you can't go there. If you just happen to stop and take a picture of anything, sir, keep moving, keep moving. There are literally like every 5 feet apart down Main Street, whether you're on the sidewalks or in the middle, there are people with those green wands like waving you, and it just is so hassled. And I understand the need, maybe, but it's just like people, and they're not happy about it either. The people working there, they're not like they're being nice.
Yeah,
it's just
well, it's a shame because Main Street is one of the lands, like it's on equal par with Adventureland and Fantasyland, but it's become like a place to get somewhere rather than the destination itself, and I hate that because it's a neat land.
And they're at fault for making it that way.
Now, I've seen, at least for fireworks, they stuck everybody in the street and left the sidewalks clear for walking.
Yeah.
That seemed to work out really nicely because then it wasn't as crowded.
I don't mind them designating places and doing that. It's the hassle of it and the way that they're like just yelling at people. And I understand they need to, and lots of people are stupid and they need directions like that being yelled at them. But it's just like every square inch of Main Street, it's like you cannot breathe until you turn the corner and either are going into Tomorrowland through the Noodle Terrace there or turning left at Casey's Corner. Like, there's just no relaxation about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of Main Street and crazy times, what's our next category, Jeremy?
Glow toys. Go, Derek.
Okay, now these are the toys that they roll out on the carts right before the fireworks and the parades, and they all glow, and all the kids say, Mommy and Daddy, you have to buy me one for $19.99, please.
If you don't know what they are, stand by me during wishes, because one always appears right in front of me.
It wishes, Pirates of the Caribbean, Space Mountain, it's
Fantasmic.
Like people.
It's like I have a magnet for them.
This is any and all illuminated toys
okay.
for the evening stuff.
because Main Street screams rave. That's what they make me think of.
Listen, you drop some ecstasy right there at the entrance, or a little LSD.
Yeah.
Walk through Main Street. It'll be your new favorite land by the time you get to the end.
All of Walt Disney World. Be
all the people. Hmm. You'd be hugging everybody. I love you.
Glow toys. You have to picture mine as a headline.
Okay.
Mine's a headline. Children massacred with glowing spinners.
Are you doing the massacring?
I am.
Okay.
Yes. A bloody massacre with fiber optic toys.
Oh boy.
Yes.
Well, mine, my five words have to do with a legitimate concern that I have about people's health and safety in the park.
Rectal
so my five
hemorrhaging.
Words. Ready? You have epilepsy? Too bad.
Seriously.
This is true.
Because if you're gonna have a seizure, you're gonna die because everywhere you turn, there they are.
There was like a whole family of them pass us by one night, and I thought that because we have a friend who's epileptic, and Courtney, who never listens to this show, so I don't care. She had one of her little episodes. Oh yeah, you do. She had one of her little episodes in front of me one time, and it scared me to death. I'm like, I could never bring her here.
Yeah.
I mean, Disney World in general is probably too much, but this was like a whole, like, 10 people with these things in your face.
And it's not just the fact that they have them. I've noticed when you have these glowing toys, children and adults, they feel the need to, like, twirl them around. So
it's not
just like, let me enjoy it right here. It's woo, 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 everywhere. You know, you can't see me, listeners, but yes. I was twirling my arms.
No, they go in the air. It's like automatically. Let's. Ah!
Yep.
Like they are anti-gravity. They just float up there.
There have to be so many of those just in the trash cans on the way out where like someone's left them and a cast member has had to pick it up and throw it away or just left on a bus or something. Because they're so exciting in that moment. But
you know what's great is like the websites and the forums. And I guess this is like a good thing. I don't know. I would never do this. It's one of those like costs money saving tips for Disney World where parents actually go and buy like glow bracelets and necklaces to give to their children when they get to the park so they don't have to buy these.
I would because they're like 15, 20 bucks for a little spinning Buzz Lightyear. You go to the dollar store, stock you up, you'll be fine.
Yeah, those need to glow away.
Ah. Oh, see what you did there.
And on that note, moving on to the next one, the ABC Commissary. Five words.
More like the ABC vomitary.
Yeah.
Oh,
I can't even match that. Okay.
Me either, and it's so close to mine. I'm gonna say mine then.
Okay.
Mine
was, vomit is vomit in it.
Yeah, mine is more like vomit with cheese, but not nearly as good as yours.
The common denominator, though, is vomit.
It's not good. I said, quinoa on vacation? How scandalous. Because scandal's on ABC.
No.
I thought really hard about that. Oh. I was like, how to get away with... Oh, crap.
Vomissary. I like that. That is what I will refer to that place for the rest of my life.
Oh, my gosh. That place. Not well. I just remember. I think the only time I've actually eaten there, I ordered the Cuban sandwich, and a Cuban sandwich is supposed to be like really good marinated pork and ham and Swiss cheese and pickles and all these. It just tasted like mom packed me a lunch, like a ham and cheese sandwich, like hot.
Yeah.
So when you're at Hollywood Studios, don't eat there. Eat at the other place.
No, the backstage place is good.
Yeah, I like that place, Backlot Express.
No, not that place.
The one by Indy?
The one by Indiana Jones called, what's it called? It's like effects, I don't know. It's like a warehouse.
No, Backlot Express.
Okay.
No, Backlot Express the one is right across, Backlot Express is by the playground.
It's by the Honey and Shrunk.
The big open outdoor one? No, that's called.
What's that called?
That's called Studio.
Catering?
Catering company, yeah. Yes. That's the big outdoor one. Backlot Express is the one we like with all the props.
Okay, Derek was right.
Derek's right. And speaking of vomit, moving on to the next topic, Frozen 2. Five words, Derek.
Please include nods to Maelstrom.
Aww.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
Yeah.
And cool, but in a way, really hack me off. Like, yeah. Like, yeah. You jerks.
That's true.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
Home Alone.
I saw Uncle Frank in The Following this past week. You watched The Following?
No.
Oh. It was really, like, traumatizing because he's so old.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't really a spring chicken.
Well, I know, but he's, like, elderly.
Cool Jack.
Yeah. Oh, I love those movies. Next, Frozen 2.
Yeah, your turn.
Olaf, Anna, Elsa, Love Triangle.
Oh. He did say she's worth melting for.
Frozen 2, still better than watching Twilight.
Easily. Well,
Frozen 2, part 1.
Now, listen, it's close, but Home on the Range is better than watching Twilight, so.
I don't think I ever even watched any of those.
Don't.
I tried for about 10 minutes.
We watched it, so you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the final topic for this evening. 5 words about the Bippity Boppity Boutique.
Children painted up like prostitutes.
So I guess little Anna will not be visiting the Bippity Boppity Boutique anytime soon.
Anna, my child Anna.
What'd I say?
Anna.
Yeah, Anna, that's what I meant.
Not named after her.
Ouch. Fairy godmother's a Bippity Boppity Boo.
Bippity Boppity Hooker.
I said, glittery hairdos can't fix ugly.
Oh. Hey, this is true.
Well, I'm going to end on a high note with my 5 words.
Oh, good.
Everybody loves glitter and sparkles.
Yay.
Yay. Is that a quote from something?
It's my life?
From Jeremy.
It sounds like, I don't know, like a Dolly Parton quote or something.
It does sound like a Dolly Parton.
My personal life philosophy. Just add some glitter. It makes it better.
More like sequins and collagen. Collagen.
Hello, this is Carl with another Walt Disney World tip of the day. Did you know that no Walt Disney World cast member can say no to you? That's right, they always have to say yes to whatever you want. So if you want a churro, or a chicken leg, or a turkey thigh, or if you want to go straight to the front of the line without ever waiting with those smelly people in line, all you have to do is ask, and they have to abide by it, because that's the law set up by Walt Disney World before his untimely death. Again, cast members cannot say no to you, so just ask. They have to say yes.
Today we're talking about rituals, the things you do before a big trip to Disney World and the things you do when you come home from a big trip to Disney World. Now, as I thought about this, you guys probably have different ones now because a trip to Disney World is like a Saturday.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll talk about our old ones, though, because those are my favorite.
Okay.
And a trip on, even though Saturday is still exciting and to be looked forward to.
Well, for sure. And I guess some of us are going to Disneyland, so I guess that's different when you plan a Disneyland trip. It's back to those old rituals. But let's talk about some of those things you like to do before a big trip. Jeremy, why don't you start?
Well, one of the things I did for our last big trip that we did is I started a countdown on my phone that told me every day, like, you know, it's essentially like a paper chain, you know, like we used to do that when I was a kid for Christmas. And when I realized we had like 100 and something days down to the trip, I was like, I'm not going to make a paper chain of 100 rings. But I found an app where you put in the date. And I think it's usually used for people for like weddings and things like that. But I put it Disneyland. and yeah, well, it was Disneyland, and it was just exciting because it was one of the things I didn't check every day, but when it was on my mind, I was like, I wonder how many days till we go, and I would go, oh, only 99 days now. And I think I even text you, Derek, at times, be like, hey, only 87 days till Disneyland, you know, kind of
okay.
a thing.
What's the name of the app?
Child, I don't know. I just
there's lots of countdown apps.
Okay, I'm going to download one of those right now because I don't have any of those, and that's a
there
great
are
idea.
Like specific Disneyland and Disney World ones that have like wallpapers. And
oh,
they...
that kind of scares me.
Oh, you can have like widgets too that have like nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. I just went on the App Store, and the most popular one I think is the one I got.
Gotcha.
But
okay,
anywho,
cool. Good idea.
It's just something again that you know. It's easy to think of a date far in the distance, like we're going in September.
Yeah,
but it becomes a little more real when you're like, oh, wow, only 170 days, which sounds like long. But as you see it get shorter and shorter and shorter, it becomes more and more exciting.
I agree. Matt?
One of my old rituals was planning the dining for yes. our trips because dining at Walt Disney World is part of the vacation to me. And so I think, well, it's still 180 days. They went to 90 days for a little while, but they quickly moved back to 180 days out. That's like 6 months, folks, that you can begin to seriously plan your Disney vacation. And you really have to, in some instances. Before they allowed you to make these reservations online, which I think was as like late as last year.
Yeah, it's pretty recent.
You had to call and like actually speak to someone and make reservations. And that was always something I looked forward to because I would wait till like the 180 days from our first day, which they'd let you do, and make our whole week. And you just felt so accomplished. You'd be like, I would like Ohana for Thursday 6 months from now. And that was always just a little bit of magic before, you know.
But is it not true, though, and you two specifically, I rely on pretty much every major trip, I rely on you two to do this. But isn't there a lot of debate as well? And that's part of the fun of planning. Like, let's do Ohana on Wednesday and let's do Coral Reef on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next day you're like, well, I was thinking about what if we did Whispering Canyon instead of...
Let me tell you.
A lot of going back and forth.
If Jessica were here, she'd tell you that I constantly change reservations now. Especially when, you know, we used to go and we would do, like, the week-long vacations. I will constantly change them for 6 months because... Nowadays, everything else is grouped into what you're having to schedule. So, you know, you want to think about the night you're going to watch Fantasmic. You want to mm-hmm. think about the night you're going to watch Illuminations or Wishes, and you want to be in that park or at least close to be able to get back there for that, you know, after dinner.
Yeah.
And then when you don't want to have to go to a different park to eat or, like, go too far to eat and then have to come back. And then on top of that, now you got to do fast passes, which I always make for the afternoon. Or evening.
Mm-hmm.
You got to schedule those. You got to schedule. So there's a lot of scheduling that still needs to be done. Thankfully, now they have the app and online, and everything can be done, you know, in the palm of your hand really quickly.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. The planning stage is, for me, super fun. Like, because yeah. I feel like I'm not already there, but I kind of feel like I am a little bit because I don't know. So I even go as far as like looking at menus and thinking, I think I'm going to order that when we go 3 months from now.
Yeah.
And like Disneyland was especially hard because we thought we were only going to be there 5 days for years to come. Like we didn't know the next time we were going to go back. So it was like, okay, these snacks get really good reviews. I have to try that while I'm there. I had like a list of snacks I want to try. And okay, now this restaurant doesn't get great reviews. I would look at food pictures and the yep. restaurant, I think I might have mentioned this on the podcast, but the restaurant I was most excited to go to was that chef's table or the chef's counter at Napa Rose. Like, I knew what I was going to order. It was going to be so great. And then they were closed for refurbishment while we were there.
Oh, I forgot. Yes.
But.
Oh.
Yeah. Fail. Planning. Hotels. Flights. Looking at the extra magic hours for Disney World, you know. Okay, now this park is open late.
Yeah, see, all that plays into what you're going to do because, you know, that the park that's open for evening extra magic hours is going to be more crowded. And so you have to, like, it's like a chess match with Disney on what night you're going to do what because you've got to consider fireworks, where you're eating, extra magic hours, crowd calendars. And for me, I'm weird about spacing things out. I wouldn't want there to be, like, two Hollywood Studios nights in a row.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want there to be, like, two Epcot nights in a row. because I want that feeling of going and then going again later and being like, oh, I get to do this again because I'm weird like that.
No.
And so I all that's in that planning stage, all boiling down to even like where you're going to have dinner.
Yep.
But that did not stop you from going to the Magic Kingdom every night. The last time we all took a week-long trip. Do you remember, like, every
this
night?
This is true.
You
ended well, at least Kingdom. Two nights they had extra magic hours. Yeah. Or it's like it was open late and you guys didn't want to
go. Yeah, it was open later.
Yeah.
And Matt's like, I'm going to the Magic Kingdom. Okay.
Oh, if you had seen my face riding Pirates of the Caribbean by myself, though.
Well, I usually amp myself up by watching films, Disney films. But it's a weird thing because I watch movies that I think I want to watch based on the trip. For instance, there are some movies that I only watch around trip time. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like Pinocchio.
Yep.
I won't just watch Pinocchio on a Saturday night.
Yep.
But if I have a trip coming up, I always watch Pinocchio before a trip. But then there's also, on the other side of when I get back, there are films that I wouldn't think about watching before that I really want to watch when I get back.
Yeah.
And it varies by trip. And I think it just has to do with partially how long it's been since I've actually watched the movie, but also an experience. Like, the one trip we had, I forget when it was, but for whatever reason, I just wanted to watch Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, as soon as I got home, I was like, I'm just itching to watch that movie. And so, you know, there's always a nice... That's a good way to come down from the high of a trip is by, you know, a few nights in the week when you get back watching a Disney film. So you kind of are reliving an experience and slowly
coming down.
Coming down and deflating, you know, the excitement. Because it's hard. It is so hard to be in the world and be with people you love and to experience that, especially when I'm with you guys who we all live far apart. And so Disney is Disney, but it's also a special trip because we don't get to hang out in person that often. And so then when you get home and it's like back to the real world, boy, that's like hitting a brick wall, at least
yeah.
for me.
Yeah, it
so
is.
You really have to work to, and it is kind of comforting to know, and I've seen online, people really struggle with this. Like, I have seen people get really depressed after
that's
trips because they're like, the next trip's so far away, or we don't know when we're going to be able to go back. And now I'm stuck back at work, and I have nothing to look forward to.
Oh, gosh.
And so, you know, Disney films definitely help you with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why one of my post-trip rituals is to get home and within a week start planning the next trip. Like, okay, I think this week would look good, and next
y'all
year...
Y'all remember...
We do that. We,
Y'all remember the first time we went in 2007?
We were already planning the return trip on the car home.
I had literally already booked... like the resort for the return trip, like sitting in the airport flying back to Nashville.
I do know we went twice in less than a year. Yeah.
We did 2007 in August and then May next year.
Yeah. Yeah. But I remember at the end of the trip in August, we were like, so what do y'all think about coming here in the spring? Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it now. Yeah.
Don't even have to ask.
Yeah. There was
one of
no
my
wait time.
Strange things I like to watch, there's two things. When I was little, you know, and growing up, and going to the parks or going to the resort, going on vacation to Disney World. Good grief. And then, while the parents were checking in, I'd go over and sit in the little kids area, and they'd play classic Disney cartoons over there on a little TV in the resort lobby. And so, for whatever reason, that always just reminds me of, like, going and being there and getting ready to check into your room, and it's all about to start. So sometimes before I go, or even when I come back, just kind of helping me, coming down off of it, is to just watch some of my, you know, Donald Duck cartoon DVDs or Mickey Mouse, just those classic ones. Also, thank God for YouTube playlists and Chromecast, which enables me to watch literally or have playing continuous like 13 hours or more of in-park footage, whether it's rides, people just randomly walking through restaurants with cameras through the parks. And this is really weird to you non-Disney people, but you're not listening anyway, so it doesn't matter. So there's whole playlists devoted to just the Disney restaurants or the Disney gift shops or one park or another, on-ride video footage, or just walk around the park.
Yeah.
You know, those things are all available.
Those walk around the park videos, when I watch them nowadays, I'm like, I'm going to see Jeremy or Matt in one of these videos.
Yeah.
Just like pushing a stroller. Hey. Like, hey, that's him. Yeah.
If you see me, I'll be wearing my tube top and my shorty shorts, so that's me. No, that's not weird. I'll tell you, this is
not
diving
weird to
off
us.
Topic, but no, because are you all familiar with unboxing videos on YouTube? This is a big thing.
Oh, like of new gadgets people buy?
Yes, and I brought this up to some teenagers, and they're like, oh, I watch those all the time. Like, it's just videos of people watching people open new stuff. And, like computers, or even, like, toys
like
and
on the Big Bang Theory when they open that new phone. Remember that?
Yes, yeah.
And they, like, take, like, the screen off.
Yeah, really? And one of the kids in my youth group was like, oh, man, when I got my new computer, I put it on YouTube of me opening it, and I got, like, 15,000 views. And I was like, who just sits there and watches people open stuff? So watching people walk around a park is not that weird.
Well, I'm not really watching the people walk around the
park.
Well,
you know, I mean, but people make the experience as well, so.
Yeah.
Hey, do you remember, when was it they had the live webcam on the train station?
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
I don't know, but when I heard about that, that was like in the late 90s.
Well, no, they had...
It was recently, too, though.
They had one during the 24-hour day.
Yes, that's
true. The 24-hour. I promise I sat with that thing opened all day on my computer,
yeah,
just watching Main Street.
I remember.
There was nothing special, but
no,
it just made me
sad.
No, that gives me, like, butterflies. I want to do it right now. Like, I think that's awesome.
You can't... Well, you can't watch it live, but, like... My middle school band director, we were getting ready for our little middle school band trip to Disney World, and she was trying to tell everybody, you know, you can go online. This is like in 1998, okay? So internet is like AOL,
dial up.
You know, it's for it takes forever.
500 free hours on
and
the
CD. I remember telling my dad, like, we didn't have, like, any of that at that time. So I was like, Dad, we have to get internet because there's these places where you can go and just look at live... Like, it wasn't even video. It was, like, time-lapse photos. You can watch live, like, photos of Main Street. Like, so we have to get internet. And I think we did.
That's the whole reason we got internet.
Then we got the internet. Thank you, Disney. No, but they have playlists on YouTube as well of just someone that set a camera up in, like, a nice location, like the top of the train station on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And all it does is look at Cinderella Castle down Main Street for, like, 3 hours. And you hear the background noise and the music, and it's just sitting there.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Splash Mountain, you know, the Cinderella Castle.
Yes.
Now, if we're talking about videos and music, it's kind of funny that my pre-trip is completely different from my post-trip. Pre-trip, about a month before, I try, if I can, to stop listening to all parades and fireworks and stuff, because I mean, I know it's not going to be new, but when I go, I want it to be like, oh, this is so great, I haven't heard this in so long.
Yeah.
But then, like, from the second I get back, I mean, gosh, on my way back, usually, I'm, like, listening to those things on loop, like, wishing I were there again, like, trying to hold on as long as I can. So, especially parades, I feel like when I get back, I listen to parade loops a lot.
There's something that just screams vacation and excitement and relaxation about going to Target or Walmart, like, the night or two nights before you're about to leave. And it's like, you know, like, in the back of your mind, like, Jessica and I, or whoever you're going with, you know you don't really need anything that you're going for to get. It's just part of going on vacation. Like, we need to go get snacks.
Yep.
Because we're going to eat a whole box of granola bars and Pop-Tarts in the car.
Yeah.
Or...
And he only lives an hour away.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
No, this is before. Or all the toiletries. Like,
yes.
I think of all... I mean, you know you're going to go to the resort, and Jessica and I like even the moderates, and we like the in-room soap, shampoo, all the stuff that Disney gives you is good stuff. But we still, like, go and, like, get... Well, we still need toothpaste and, like, Listerine. But instead of just bagging up what we already own... Like, you got to go buy the travel size.
Well, yeah.
Because you're going on vacation, and you got to get that feeling of just cleaning out. Do we need baby powder?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I always do that.
I think I might need some of this Axe deodorant.
And, like, the travel size.
You want some aloe?
Germex?
Yes. We're going to need that.
Yep.
We don't have the stuff from Bath & Body Works.
The baby wipes?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
What
that
if we get
well.
Sticky? We need the wet ones. Oh my gosh. This is just what happens. It's
what
just part of it.
It's sticky, yes. It goes through my mind every time.
That's always exciting to me, though.
I actually make a bucket list before I go, and these are like snacks I have to try or place. Like, I remember last trip we went on, the boardwalk was on my list because I had never even been to the boardwalk at Disney, and I was like, this is something I really need to do. And it's cool to have just a few things, so that way on your next trip there's still something else to list on your bucket list. But I think it's important to have a list of things that you definitely want to cross off your list on this specific trip.
Yeah, Derek is definitely the king of lists and charts.
That makes you sound so nerdy, but hey.
No, but I appreciate it.
It makes for a great vacation.
You host a Disney podcast, and yeah, I accept
that's
it.
That's true. I've already accepted the fact that I am Monica on Friends.
But I appreciate it, too, because your list, again, because I am the complete opposite. I don't really have a list. So Derek's like, I want to do this and this and this and this. And I'm always like, yeah, I want to do those things too. Yeah, let's do it.
Maybe that's why I go on vacation with you, because you'll just do anything and you let me do it. If we had another planner, I'd be like, I don't want you here.
Oh, the world would end. It would be...
I'd be like, why do you want to do that? That's stupid. That would waste so much time.
See, that's why I think about lists. But... But when I'm there, I'm like, eh, if we get to it, we get to it. You know, you get your carrot cake, cupcake, or whatever the heck you eat and stuff. You'll get it when we get there.
That sounds so good. You know me so well. That sounds really good.
Hey. I meant to say the carrot cake cookie, but cupcake came out somehow.
Yeah, I have had that. It was okay. It was good.
I like carrot cake.
It's my favorite.
Jessica is her favorite.
Okay, post-trip.
My post-trip rituals revolve around escape. Not even necessarily Disney, but it's just like in times past, living in North Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky, coming back from Walt Disney World meant coming away from like vacation. And vacation meant like, and especially to Florida, even if I was going to Disney World, there was that, I don't know, there's a beachy tropical feel to vacation, even coming to Disney World, because you'll have the pools, you go to Typhoon Lagoon, and all that's part of it. So coming back off of vacation isn't so much even about Disney, because I really don't want to think about Disney when I come back because it makes me sad. So what I usually do is just escapism. So tropical music, Jimmy Buffett galore. I watch and rewatch Weekend at Bernie's 1 and 2. The Birdcage is like a nightly feature, literally a nightly feature at my house after Disney vacations. It's just all about, let me just stay in my little away place for a little while longer.
Which, now that you live in Florida, surely all that's changed, right?
No, not really.
I just feel like that's your life.
I can start pumping my, pumping my Hawaiian music.
I just feel like that's your life 24/7 nowadays.
No, well, I think you're misunderstanding something about Floridians.
Yeah,
and that is, there still is a difference between a day Disney trip and a vacation Disney trip.
Indeed, yes.
Because a day trip,
I do miss that.
Yeah, I mean, a day trip is nice, and you know, you get a little bit of the Disney fix. But there still is something about, I'm staying on property, I'm away from my my average everyday life. So there is still a difference, even if you're a Floridian.
Yeah, there's something about going and checking into your resort and being there, and you got the pool to go back to. Because when we go, like, we went Friday, and that's great and all, and I love the Magic Kingdom, I love being there, and it gives me that satisfaction, but, you know, we drive up, we're going to be there for, you know, whatever, 6 hours, and then it's over, you got to drive home for an hour and a half.
There's a big difference between going to your car and going to the bus, you know, so...
I get
so
that.
I, too, like Matt, face post-trip depression, as I mentioned a few moments ago. And one of the things that I do, I escape as well, but I shut in and I...
Drugs.
A lot of drugs, a lot of drinking, a lot of dark stuff, man. But one of the things I do is I go through pictures over and over and over again. And I relive the trip through
photos.
That sounds
depressing.
I didn't say it was happy, but...
See, my key is avoidance. Maybe I'm not as healthy. Maybe I can't look at my depression square in the face and
that's
face
true.
It.
That's true. I'm breathing.
Mine is
you are.
Ignoring. I'm passive.
I should get some recognition somewhere for this.
No, but Jeremy, you should definitely try. You should definitely try the avoidance route. the weeks following a trip, so many texts that like bum me out. about, like, oh, I'm looking at the picture, and it's a, I'm like, stop, you need to just stop, you need to step away.
Go watch Weekend at Bernie's.
I am the king of this text. A week ago, we were watching Wishes Right Now.
No. I'm done with that. It's not like I'm done with Disney. It's really not like that, because you know I love Disney.
Yeah.
But like, one time I came back, it was 2009, after our trip with our friends, and I got engaged to Jessica on that trip, and it was just a great trip. And coming back, although we were now looking forward to the wedding and all that stuff, you're still coming back from Disney World, and I was coming back to a job at the UPS store and all this stuff.
So magical.
So, yeah, I had gotten one of those blasted, whatever, $10 throws for spending like $50, you know. And you can get the throw for like $15 or whatever, $25. It's, you know, it's what it is. I like slept in that for like a month. That's all I slept in. I mean, other than pajamas in my bed.
There's a picture for like, you. Yes,
all, like that was just. I get like, I don't know. I do Frasier marathons, just little things that just get my mind away from. Not only away from being home, but away from Disney, just because I don't want to be sad, you know? Mm-hmm. And when later, when I'm ready, when I'm okay, I might watch some DuckTales.
You'll take off the throw, take your first shower in a month.
Yes. When I feel emotionally ready and stable, I'll listen to some Disney theme park
music.
This
is me. Oh, man. A week ago, we were in line for Ohana right now.
No. I can't do that. If I did that, I'd just be sad all the time.
A week ago, we were watching Fantasmic. I live a sad
Now, life. It's funny to me to think, like, I do kind of do that in my head.
Yeah.
And then it's really uber-depressed. Uber. I never use that word. It's because you're here.
Yeah, uber. Let it out.
It's really uber-depressing to me, like, a week, and then a month. And then, like, 2 months, and it's like, we've been gone for, like, a month.
Yeah.
2 months ago, 3 months, and before you know it, it's like a year. And I was just thinking today that this year it will be, like, 8 years since our trip in 2007.
Yeah. Although, really, 8 years doesn't sound like that much time.
Sounds like a long time to me.
Because I feel like it's been my whole life.
It's like 8 years, because I think almost 10. I always round up with time. Jessica tells me this. I always round up with time. So... 8 years is almost 10 years, which is almost 20. And that's like, oh my word. I'm so old.
Well, because I know Jeremy gets that way, I like to have fun with him leading up to a trip. So I'll be like, I'll text him and be like, we are 4 months exactly from being at Disney World. And then like 10 minutes later, I'll be like, we are 4 months and 5 days exactly from being back home at work after vacation.
He's such a jerk.
I feel like if you keep a good perspective, you won't get as bummed.
No,
I'm trying to help you.
Yeah, he just likes to watch me suffer. That's all it is.
A little
bit. What are friends for?
Because he really will do that. I'm like, 4 days till we're there, 14 days till we're home. It's like, yeah. Jerk.
It's like, yeah. And like, in 14 days, you'll be back at your lousy desk job.
Yeah.
You'll be contemplating your life's existence.
Yeah. But you know what, on such a completely different topic, kind of. But you know what's so exciting is when you have the whole first day of your trip and it's been wonderful and you go to bed and it's like, this was only day one. We
yes.
have like four whole days, five whole days,
oh,
whatever.
Oh my gosh. If we're talking about like mid-trip rituals, mine when I was little, and it's strange that it continues this way. It's just the way I guess I'm wired that way from being so much when I was little and growing up. Like the night before your first day in the park, I never could sleep. I still almost cannot sleep that night before because it's like tomorrow. I will be in the Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be on Pirates of the Caribbean. I'll smell the smells and be there. Mid-trip, you dread that last day. Like, I hate the last day.
You're not the most fun person in the world on the last day.
No.
At least those first couple trips. You've gotten better.
Now, look, this past time, we did the Harry Potter thing on the last day. And I was pretty miserable that day.
I remember.
But that's just because we were at Universal.
No, it was just kind of a day, you know.
I mean, talk about coming down off a high.
I think I did really well our first trip there because I intentionally made Fantasmic on our last trip. And we were at Hollywood Studios, not Magic Kingdom. So it wasn't like really, really depressing that last day.
No, you're right. I just say that because I know what's going on in your mind. Like, I can tell that you're like, oh, trying to brace yourself for getting back to the real world.
I really dread that last day. So the whole trip, it's like, we have 4 more days. That's a long time. 4 more days. Or like 3 more days. That's a long time. 2 more days. Well, it's 2 whole days. And then the last day, like the whole last day is just shot for me because, well, it's the last day.
Yeah. I really don't have that many post-trip rituals. I do look at photos, but mostly so I can print them out and put them in fun frames and hang them up or albums or whatever. And then I listen to the music. But other than that, it's like, well, that was fun.
I am not this type of person by nature, and usually not this type of person in my everyday life. But there is something fun about posting your vacation pictures on social media and seeing the likes and the comments.
Oh my gosh.
So what you're saying is you're an old Facebook person user.
Well, I am, but I mean, I do Instagram as well, so I guess that keeps me kind of hip. But it is kind of fun, you know, to post those pictures and be like, look at how much fun I'm having.
Yeah.
You know, and people comment.
It's really fun to be in a park with Jeremy and hear every 5 minutes, aw, your brother liked my photo. Aw, my mom liked that picture.
That's what my in-laws do.
Why do you all hang out with me? Apparently you hate me.
Because you take our teasing like a champ.
I think because I've never realized how much it was until I started hearing you all say it here. But anyways.
This is really why we started the podcast. Matt and I were like, we have so many things to say, but we feel like it would be kind of hard on him.
I don't know how to say them.
So let's start a Disney podcast.
Share me. Your picture frames. Woof.
Oh, yes. We need to put a picture of that picture frame on our show notes.
I bought one fun, wacky, tacky picture frame one time. It's the only one.
Now it's you, though, bro.
And it's my identity now.
You should have been careful. You should have been careful with your first purchase.
Yeah. That's an important.
2 plush toys and a wacky, tacky picture frame.
It sets a precedent.
I'm a fun person. I can't help it.
Let me say this. Perhaps the most necessary, magical, indispensable post-trip ritual is eating at Sonny's Barbecue on your way out of Florida. That was just the thing.
Oh my gosh. Yes, in Georgia.
Yeah.
Is it Valdosta?
They're everywhere.
They're all in Florida as well.
Oh my gosh, Matt, that's so weird that you say that because I've never even heard of this place. And in 2013, when my family went to Disney World, my parents and I were driving back to Tennessee and we were getting hungry. And so I looked up on my phone, like, good restaurants near whatever town we are near. And it said Sonny's Barbecue. And we went there.
Sonny.
That's so weird.
It started in Florida.
Started in Gainesville.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of them in Florida. And it's a chain-ish type. I mean, there's a lot of them. And they've kind of gradually crept up north. I know they're like in one in Charlotte. There's a lot now going up 75 through Georgia, even into Tennessee and Kentucky. But it used to always be like coming in, we would stop in St. Augustine at the Sonny's for barbecue. Now it's like leaving. When you take the other interstate up 75, we would find one, you know, near the Georgia line or whatever. It's just one of those Florida things.
Funny. Now, Matt, you have a pre-trip ritual that has kind of spread to me. On our first trip, as we were driving through the gates, you know, Jeremy and I were like elated because this is our first time, and you see the big archway, and Matt, of course, cues up the music, turns on the radio, and what's playing but When You Wish Upon a Star.
When You Wish Upon a Star, because y'all are playing god-awful Hairspray or something. I'm like, guys, you know we're about to enter into the gates, right?
It was 2007. It was
a different time. It was a different time in our lives. Oh.
No, now I do that as well, except I don't play When You Wish Upon a Star. I play the Welcome Medley that's from
Main
Street.
That's acceptable, too.
Oh, it's wonderful, because it's like, welcome, welcome, welcome.
If you really want to try out your emotions, go on a Disney vacation and queue up When You Wish Upon a...
When You Wish Upon Your Star.
Oh, yes.
Try that sometime.
Try When You Wish Upon a Star as you leave the gates. Past the buckle up sign and the see you real soon. The see you real soon on the sign, it's like, blast you, Disney. Like, why? Cue up the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. The Mickey Mouse Club alma mater. Like, you know, now it's time to say goodbye. You know, see you real soon at the end there. Always got me when I was little. Mm. I mean, there was a time when I was small, like 9. And this is not young. Like 9 to 11 years old, when I literally sobbed leaving Walt Disney World. And the see you real soon was
bless
like
your little heart.
The see you real soon was like the cap. Like, if I just did not look at it.
But you knew it was there.
Yes. I could hear Mickey saying, well, see you real soon.
All right. Well, hopefully we've given our fans some ideas of what they want to do before and after the next trip and some things that they say, I am so glad I am not like that, because that would be awful.
I was about to say, you're more or less just showing people what a Disney fan looks like. Disney nerd.
Those folks be crazy is what everybody's thinking right now. But so let's go ahead and sign off. Thank you so much for listening. We ask that you please go review us on iTunes. We really appreciate those. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at @mad_chatters or on Facebook at facebook.com/madchatterspodcast. If you have any questions or topics you want us to discuss, send those to comments@madchatters.net. And I can't think of anything else to say. So if you're planning a trip soon, be sure to tell us all about it. Have a great time, and we will see you next week.
Ride it like there's no tomorrow.
Goodbye, little Maddie. See you real soon.
Oh.